evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Glad you could be here. We'd like to welcome our guest as well. Thank you for choosing to be with us tonight to study a portion of God's Word. Tonight's lesson will be taken out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. I'd like to start from chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through verses 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, so we can get an idea of what's going on and what Peter has to say in verse 5 and on. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us to the righteous of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you to the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. And I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see here that the Apostle Peter talks about faith. And is it just believing in God? According to what the Apostle Peter says here, he says that our faith has to what? Has to grow. We have to continue to grow our faith in Jesus Christ. We can't, and I'll use the word, we can't stay stagnant in Christ. We need to grow. And so what the Apostle Peter, what I'd like for us to see here is that we need to add to our faith these virtues. And we'll talk about each one in just a minute. But in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, I like what the Apostle Peter says, because he's talking to Christians, to them that have already believed, because he says that we have that same precious faith. And so he's talking to Christians and he says, we have that faith in Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel. And so this reminds me of, I was with some men and we were having a breakfast, and they said, we were talking about religious things, and they said, well, at least we have Jesus Christ in common. At least we have same faith in common. And I thought about that, and I said, well, Do we have the same faith? Do we have Jesus Christ in common? And I say that because this is what Peter's telling us here. He says, you know, we share that same faith in Jesus Christ. We've believed in the gospel, and so we have that faith. And so if we have that same faith, it means that what? We believe in Christ. We believe in the same thing. You can't believe differently than I can, because then we don't have Jesus Christ in common. But the Apostle Peter here says, you know, this is, you know, what we have in common is our faith in Jesus Christ. But he says, we need to add to that faith. And I'd like to just ask a question, and this is something that Brother Joe in one of his lessons has brought up. You know, he was asking people in the audience, you know, how old you were. Now, I'm not going to ask you your age, but he'd ask us how old you were and how long have you been in Christ? How long has it been since you obeyed the gospel? And so I looked at myself, and at home I have a certificate when I was baptized, when I obeyed the gospel, June 30th, 1979 is when I obeyed the gospel. And so I do the math now, and that's 40 some odd years now that I've been in Christ. You can do the same thing. How long have you been since you've obeyed the gospel? And so this is what I'm getting at. Our faith
has to know, if I've been in the gospel for 40 years, if I have that faith in Jesus Christ, then my faith has to grow. And these virtues that we're going to talk about tonight, each one of us has to have. Now, is it something that you just automatically have once we've obeyed the gospel?
No, it's something that we have to work on. And we have to, the Apostle Peter says here, and he uses the word in verse 5, he says, give all diligence to add to your faith. And so what is he saying? Is he saying just to be casual about it? He's saying, no, you be diligent and add to your faith virtue. And so this is how we begin to grow in Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk a little bit about faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? And so when Paul talks about that faith that comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, he's saying, you know, that hearing has to have some action behind it. We hear the gospel. We've heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so if we're hearing that, then what comes after that? Action. Acts chapter 2, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, he says to the Jews there, God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. What to the Jews that were listening on that day of Pentecost, what did they ask? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And so they heard the gospel. They believed in the gospel. It says that they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What was Peter's reply? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so we see here the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, how we've come to obey the gospel. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. What is Hebrews?
Faith is what?
Is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance. What is substance? It's the assurance that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And it's the evidence is be certain about it, to be convicted once again that Jesus Christ is the Son of God of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 talks about faith. But without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. And I like this verse because it's so easy to understand because, okay, if I don't believe in God, then, you know, then it's impossible. I'm not going to please God because I don't believe in God. But it says here that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do we want to please God? We must believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And so what I'd like to, what I wanted to, for us to see with these verses and faith is that faith is a continuous faith. It's not just when we obeyed the gospel, when we confessed, that Jesus, when they asked us, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And we said, yes. And that was the end. But it's a continuous faith. It's a faith that has to grow continuously. And so, Hebrews 11, verse 1, I mean, verse 6, this is why it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, he must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And that seek, once again, seeking God is a continuous thing. It's a daily thing in our lives. And so this is why tonight I'd like to talk about what we have to add to that faith. Each one in here personally, we have to add these virtues to our faith. We have to grow, and these are things that, because verses 8 through 11 say that if we don't practice these things, what will happen? If we lack these things, we are blind and cannot see far off. We see that Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10 talk about the faith that Abraham had. And I'd like to read those verses, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. But faith, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after, let me start over. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we see that Abraham believed God. And Abraham took action. And so we see that Abraham believed God. But verse 10 says that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he kept his focus in God and his promise. And so, brothers, we have to add to our faith. One more verse that I'd like to read, and then we'll go into Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like for us to read verses, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. And into chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God. So what was the problem here in Hebrews chapter 5? What was happening to the brethren here? What is told to them? By now you should be what? You should be teachers. So what is he telling them? We haven't grown in our faith. We haven't grown in Christ. We are babes in Christ. I could see calling someone that has just obeyed the gospel and has been baptized and calling him a babe in Christ. But for those of us that have been in Christ for several years, then we have to grow in Christ. We have to grow in our faith. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, because when you're up here, time seems to fly. I'm sure that when you're in the audience, it just runs too slow. It's the opposite, but hopefully we can get through this lesson. And so we see here in 2 Peter chapter 1, going back to verse 5, he says to add then to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Courage, Christ-likeness. I have down moral conduct. So we have to add to our faith moral conduct. Remember what we said. We don't automatically, once we obey the gospel, doesn't mean, hey, I know everything. I've read the Bible from start to finish, and that's it. My faith in Christ is where it should be. No, we need to grow. And so he says we have to practice and we have to add to our faith virtue, moral conduct, behavior. I've got 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where as as they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter is saying here in these verses that what? By your what? By your actions. Other people are going to see you and see your faith by your actions, by the way we behave before them. And he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. What is knowledge? And it's something else that we have to add to our faith. Is it knowledge of the gospel? Is it knowledge of God?
What's he talking about here? Okay, knowledge of the gospel. But turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I have down application. Understanding how to apply God's word in our lives. Because we may know the scriptures from A to Z, but we may not know how to.
And the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And listen to verse 17. So
that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or duly furnished unto all good works. So how are we going to know how to behave? How are we going to know how to act? It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for what? For doctrine, to teach, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction. So that we could be. The man of God may be perfect and furnished and be able to handle our lives in the world. And so we need to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge we have to also add temperance. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Temperance is what? Self-control. What happens when we don't hold back and somebody makes us angry? God and everything else, scripture, sometimes goes out the window. Have to have that to our faith. Self-control. Listen to what James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So James is telling us here that we need to be what? Swift to hear. And slow to speak. And slow to, what happens sometimes when somebody is yelling at us or talking at obscenities? We want to do the same thing and we just can't wait, you know? But we say that we need to be slow to speak, slow to get angry, because verse 20, the wrath of man, when we get angry, it says that we do not work the righteousness of God. And that's what James is saying, you know, God in every deed, you know, all righteousness goes out the window. We're just like the other person because we're doing the same thing. And so we need to add to our faith self-control. And to self-control, we need to add patience. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Rejoice. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh what? Patience. It worketh endurance. So we have to add to our faith patience, endurance. We've got to be thick-skinned sometimes to have that endurance. But because we believe in God and we have that precious faith, these are the virtues that you have to have and you have to grow. And once again, brethren, the reason Peter is telling us that we must grow in these virtues is because we will not be barren. We will not be weak when the time comes. James, we just read James chapter 1. He says that we should all have joy when we fall in several temptations. Now, how can we have joy while we're being tempted? Because he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting. And so, we need to add to our faith patience. Now, once again, brothers, do we have all these traits? Are we working on these traits in our lives? And so we have to add to our faith godliness, with the godliness, brother. Brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness charity. I'd like to talk about the three. What do they have in common? Okay, thinking of others before ourselves. But what's one word that can sum up these two? Love. So, it's not only for God,
it's for our fellow man. And when he uses godliness, we see that God have showing his love for us by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. And so we should have compassion. Because these three have to do with love. First Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 16 say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Matthew chapter 22. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 through 39. They ask Jesus, and if we start in verse 34, Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so it's talking about love here. To love God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we have to add this to our faith. Do we have compassion? Do we have love for God? Do we have love for our neighbor? The last verse I'd like to read, let's turn over to Psalms. Let's go ahead. I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and finish the last three verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so if we add these virtues, these traits to our faith, beginning with verse 8, for if these things be in you, if we practice these things and they abound, we grow in these traits, we put them to practice in our daily lives. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, we need to give diligence. Verse 10, we need to give diligence to make your calling an election sure. So we have to check ourselves. Are we working on our faith? Is our faith in God growing? Because we have to make sure that our election is sure. Are we working for our salvation? When Jesus Christ comes for the second time, will we spend eternity with God? That's our election, sure. Make sure that we check ourselves and work on these things so that we will not be barren in Christ. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now turn to, we'll end with this, Psalms chapter 1. We'll read the whole chapter. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And this reminds me of what Peter is telling us and those traits that we should have that we should add and grow in our faith. Listen to, he talks about a tree here, a tree that is growing besides the bank of a river. And so, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we need to find delight and look to please God in our daily lives and meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, with the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we see the example here of a tree growing by the river's edge. What do you imagine this tree looks like? Is it a weak tree? It's a strong tree. It's got strong roots. Why? Because it's getting its nutrients and the water that it needs daily. And it says that the leaves of this tree don't wither. This reminds me of what Peter is telling us about our faith. If we add these traits to our faith, then what? We will not be barren. And so we need to work on these traits and add them to our faith. Let us not be like what we read in Hebrews chapter 5, that we are as babes in the Lord and are still needing milk. But we need to mature in the Lord, in our faith. Any questions or comments that anyone might have? Thank you very much for your attention this evening. Let us close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that you gave us to be here this evening to study a portion of your word. We ask you, Father, to be with each one of us, Father, that our faith in you may grow, Father, that we may constantly look for you, Father, daily in our lives. Be with those of our number that are sick. Be with Karen, Father, as she is recuperating at home, Father, from her surgery. That you give her her health, Father. Be with the rest of our members that are not with us tonight. We thank you once again, Father, for your blessings. We thank you for your son and thank you, Father, for everything that you give us. Forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.